Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
You know, we women have come a long way professionally, but we still face challenges and inequality in the workplace. And my guest is Monica Wofford. She said it to me before, and I should have said it again. Wofford, she's an internationally known author of leadership development books, including Contagious Leadership and Make Difficult People Disappear. Boy, I'd like to do that. Welcome to the show, Monica. Let's speak about this. Challenges. Are women still facing the same challenges we heard about in, you know, the 50s and 60s?
That's a broad-based question. I think in the workplace, women and men both face challenges with conflict. Women have a tendency to be labeled when in conflict quite a bit differently than our male counterparts. But yes, indeed, bullying, conflict, cattiness, pettiness, and arguments happen at the office.
And what do you think is the biggest obstacle for women in the workplace today?
Being assertive, expressing their own opinion, having an opinion, without being referred to as the ever-popular favorite big B word.
Oh, of course. You know, and then I've also heard who's minding the kids, you know.
There is that, and I don't consider that to be one of the areas of my expertise. In fact, I listened to one of your segments about balance, and I firmly believe balance is a concept reserved for a scale, not people. But in the concept of conflict and workplace issues, there is a great deal to be said for the more stress one is under, the more rampant conflict will tend to become, both in how we perceive communication from others and how we respond to others.
Well, and you mentioned the big B word, and I myself am, you know, I am self-employed, and I also am in this radio business, and I feel free to speak my mind a lot. And I know that it is not always the most pleasant thing for my bosses to hear. I know that some women are afraid of doing that, but I'm a talker, and I can't hold it in lest I implode. So what do you suggest for women in the workplace who feel put down, who feel they can't speak their mind, who feel they'd like to chime in but don't?
It's a great question, and this is a strong part of Make Difficult People Disappear, the book you mentioned wanting, because you've got some difficult people disappear, or in your life you'd like to have disappear. There's a series of personalities, and there are four that many tests and profiles will point us to and walk us through how to utilize and how to understand, and two of those four are more introverted, more reticent to share, not a talker, as you referred to, not someone who's going to openly or vocally share their thoughts and opinions. Those who are introverted can still be expressive, can still be leaders, for that matter, can still be highly valuable in contributing at the workplace. And for them to share their opinion, they simply would go about it a bit differently. They would still speak up, though not direct, not in animosity, not with a tone of aggression, but speak up in a way that seems to be much more conservative or perhaps much more around the bend, if you will, for those who are straight and to the point. So it's a matter of elevating the understanding of all team members at the workplace so that the emotional intelligence allows for acceptance, not just tolerance, but acceptance of all methods of getting to the same outcome, which is expressing how we feel, getting our own needs met, avoiding conflict.
Well, and also there are certain careers that I would think lend themselves to more women involved in them. I know pediatricians are heading towards a very female population and gynecologists. Now, these are careers that are time consuming to become a doctor like that, to be a surgeon, to be at a practice, a busy practice. When women have those kinds of careers, do you think that it's different than if they're in a Fortune 500 company, working the corporate world, wearing a suit to work?
I don't know that I would say there's a great deal of difference, and here's why. The power that a doctor, a surgeon, a gynecologist would have is very similar to the power a CEO, COO, VP, exec, VP, director might have, perceived power, at any rate, from your customers, internal or external. So they would still be able to rest on that title, that position, in order to build some confidence if they felt uncomfortable about expressing their needs in any direction. If they were simply working in an office with a woman and not one who held that particular title, I don't think the instances would be that much different from a corporate America circumstance or situation than in a career that is primarily led by or worked within by women.
Are we still making less than men, Monica?
That's a great question. The science behind that would suggest those numbers are changing. It's not something that I study a great deal in research. So when we look at pay, those are often much easier issues to talk about than the much more prevalent, far more powerful, and far more damaging issue of a lack of emotional intelligence and understanding of communication skills and styles and people in the workplace. It's far easier to say I need a raise than it is I need you to pay attention to me.
So what about harassment? You know, and I'm not necessarily talking about textbook sexual harassment, but harassment of all kinds that goes on in the workplace. I would think it would just make sense to me that women are probably more harangued in the workplace than men are. I might be wrong about that.
When you look at the typical role for a male in the workplace, and this goes back to your question about if we're still doing what we did in the 50s, sociologically, men are expected to take on positions of control and power in that commander sort of type A, head of household, head of company role. Women still, though we've made a great deal of progress, are sociologically expected to take care of family, be the mediator, help everyone else get their needs met and put their own needs last. Because of those societal roles, then you have a much longer reinforcement of nurturing behavior for women throughout the time they've grown up than you do for men. So women might feel as if they're being harangued or harassed or taken advantage of or talked down to in many cases. Perhaps some of that is accurate, and some of it may also be a function of the way that we have been expected to behave. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a woman taking up an assertive position and sharing her opinion, even voicing it, standing behind it, stepping up on the soapbox and defending it. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Men do that as well all the time. It's about the expectations we have of each gender's behavior.
Give your advice to women who are in the workplace and they're out there and they may be feeling that their voice is not heard. They sit in on meetings and they don't get to speak up. How can you, you know, help them become a little bit more assertive without fearing that they will be called the big B word or relegated to you're not coming in this meeting anymore? Any of those kinds of things.
Sure, given that retribution. Three things would be critically important. One would be to boost one's own self-confidence. Understand your own gifts, skills, talents, and behaviors that you're naturally fabulous at. And focus on those. Relish in how good an outcome or product you can produce when you're using those, and continue to build one's confidence. Secondly, work on one's self-esteem. Confidence and self-esteem are two entirely different things. Confidence being things you feel you can do. Self-esteem being the element that tells you you're worth the effort to learn how to do them or to reinforce them. So reinforcing that self-esteem often entails monitoring and managing the voices in your head.
Oh boy, we sure have those negative voices, Monica. Yeah. We sure do.
That's a whole different conversation, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Once those two things are done, spend some time working on a greater level of understanding about this whole concept of emotional intelligence. And I talk about it a great deal and make difficult people disappear, because once you have an understanding of who you are and who they are, things like difficult interactions, harassment, miscommunication, confusion, conflict, feeling beaten up on, feeling misunderstood, feeling undervalued, all of those tend to disappear and or dissipate with great speed because you're no longer taking everyone else's actions personally. And that often is a key factor that gets in the way of women feeling like they have the ability to speak up. If they're taking someone who said no personally, when it could be merely a function of that person's personality, that can create a problem.
And that's what it's all about, women, increasing your self-esteem and your self-confidence, asserting what you know to be your strengths, your knowledge, your ability to work with people and hear your voice and get it heard. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD. Stay well.